If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
If everything was fine and you and Tati never split up or whatever, I would have just been a comfortable fat kid that went to uni and did some job.
Did some job,
just went to uni because I was meant to go to uni and just tick the boxes and did all that stuff, you know? But I just went complete 180.
Kia ora, we're your hosts, Julie
and Sarade. We travelled around Aotearoa with our soundie Joey, meeting immigrant whānau, listening to stories and discovering what is said or not said between different generations.
These stories warmed our hearts and broke our hearts. And over this series, we invite you too to listen in on conversations with my immigrant parents. This episode of the podcast features the Jayasinghe family, Mum Sushani, older brother Narvin, and his younger sister Anik.
The Jayasinghe whānau came to Aotearoa from Sri Lanka in 2003. Before coming here, they moved around quite a bit, living in Malaysia for 5 years and in Singapore for a year, before finally settling in Tāmaki. They came with their dad, Sushani's husband, who they refer to in this episode as Tati, but their parents separated in 2007.
Anik, who is 29, has recently moved out of home and lives in Whanganui. She works as an arts coordinator. Sushani is 60 and works in admin, and Narvin is 30. He lives at home with Sushani and works for the council.
So I've got two children, Anik and Narvin and Anik Jayasinghe. They are like chalk and cheese. Narvin's very responsible and very reliable. And those are things I value a lot because my husband and I split up. And then it was always to Narvin that I would go and tell him everything. Anik was younger, and I didn't want to spoil her life by my problems. So I used to tell Narvin my poor fellow was burdened with all these problems. So maybe I should have spoken to both of them. Anik's very artsy, very sensitive. Oh my gosh, it's just two children, blessed with two beautiful children, I should say. Just a blessing. I couldn't do without them.
My mum's name is Sushani Malkanti Jayasinghe. I'd definitely describe her as a giver.
Mm.
She's really passionate. Like, when you go for a walk with her, she just, like, is fascinated by, you know, a beautiful flower on the side of the road. Or it's like, this is beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's like, so much zest.
Mm.
I think that's one of my favourite things about Ma is that she finds even simple things so beautiful. Like, I remember we were driving down the road once and she was like, oh my gosh. She's like, we're like, what? And she's like, look at those fruit. Look at that fruit on that tree.
Yeah. Our mom was born in, I don't know where she was born, Colombo. I believe she was born in Colombo.
She was definitely Sri Lanka. Born in Colombo.
Sri Lanka.
Or maybe was Candy. It? Don't we know this?
I don't know. It's pretty sure it's Colombo.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's Colombo, yeah. Great kids.
In 2020, Sushani was meant to go to Sri Lanka to visit her mum, who she refers to as Archer, for 3 weeks. But COVID meant she ended up staying in Colombo for 3 months.
So on your 60th birthday, you went to the airport. COVID was around in the world. It wasn't in New Zealand. And you were going back to Sri Lanka to see Archer. It's been some time. There was meant to be 3 weeks, eh?
Yeah, I was just weeks. Going yeah. to, yeah, come back 1st of April, I would have been here. Yeah.
At that point in time, did you feel like, you know, what were you feeling about going to Sri Lanka? Were you like, this was like,
right? No, I went for a reason. Yeah. I went to see Archer. I got 3 months.
Mm.
So it was good.
Mm.
Yeah, I could see how Archer lived and actually what her problems are and all that.
And she had someone to talk to.
Yeah, she had me to talk to, and it was good. We watched Hindi movies together.
Hindi movies?
Yeah.
I don't know how to watch Hindi movies.
Yeah, she because watched... that's part of Sri Lanka, Hindi movies. Because TV, yeah. India is so close. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What they are kind of Bollywood and stuff comes down to us as well.
So, but there are Sri Lankan dramas on television, eh, that she watches as well.
Funnily enough, we didn't watch any of those. We just watched Hindi movies. I don't know why. So when I went to see Archa, it was good to, of course, see her. And I was also thinking it was really hard to go every 2 years. I have to, you know, save up to go see her. But if she was living with me, it would have been wonderful. Living in two different countries is really hard because we are the only ones living here from our family, whereas everybody else is there, yeah. Most of them.
Yeah.
So they have a rich family life, you know, not like us. We don't have people, relatives coming in and, you know, sitting around chatting to us and suddenly somebody will pop in and then sit and have a meal together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really miss that.
That's how you grew up.
Yeah, I really miss that. It's like if I thought of all these things before we came here, I would have never come here, actually. I would have stayed home because of the amount of the connections and the loss of family is huge. You know, when you come here, your friends become your family. Whereas if you are there, your family is everything, no?
Do you think she'd, even if she could, do you think she'd want to come and live here anyway?
Yeah, that's my question.
No, she found it very quiet and she didn't have company here. So after a month of here, she liked it here. But after a month, she got bored. She had to go home.
Yeah.
Because that's her home.
She doesn't have the Hindi movies here.
Yeah, you know what was interesting from that? You've actually never said that you'd never come here.
Yeah.
Because you always say this is home. That's the first time you actually said you would never come here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've thought about it a lot.
It's a really hard thing to hear. I mean, any immigrant, but especially your parents, say that they wish they'd never come here.
Yeah, and you can tell that Navin and Anik were surprised by that, eh? So in this next section, the Jayasingha family discuss what it was like leaving Malaysia, Singapore and Sri Lanka to finally settle here in Aotearoa.
When did we come to New Zealand? So 2003, it was April, I'm pretty sure it was April.
I think I was 11 years old or 12.
And yeah, I didn't want to move because obviously I had all my friends and stuff. I put up a fight before we moved. I didn't even want to go.
Yeah.
You threw a tantrum?
Yeah, I didn't want to go proper.
He said, you two guys go.
Yeah.
And then if it's good.
Yeah, but I'm glad now, obviously. But at the time, the first probably 6 months were pretty average.
It felt kind of exciting for me.
Did it?
Because I also thought that it was temporary. Like I thought we'd be gone for like maybe like, I don't know, 2-3 years. Like the sense of time was very different when you're younger, right? So you're like, oh yeah, I'll see my friends again. Like we'll stay in contact, like it's not a big deal. And then it was kind of fun, you know, you're the friend who's leaving and you get your uniform signed, and like I still have that uniform. I think it's in this closet upstairs. True. It's like got all the signatures of all my friends. I didn't realize how big a change it would be, I don't think, at the time. It was kind of exciting for me. And then I think maybe you were older through all of these changes from moving from Sri Lanka to Malaysia, and then Malaysia to Sri Lanka, Sri Lanka to Singapore, Singapore back to Sri Lanka. Maybe you felt like you were just sick of change.
Yeah, I think Malaysia was great, right?
I loved Malaysia.
There's always good memories in Malaysia. Malaysia was just really fun, you know?
Yeah.
That's where I started playing sports, all that kind of stuff. And then we moved back to Sri Lanka and then we went primary for a couple of years. That was fun too. And then we went to Singapore and that was miserable. That was terrible.
Why?
It was just hard. We had to get up at like 5 a.m. to catch the damn bus to school.
Yeah.
And then I fall asleep in the bus. I just remember being so tired, never wanting to go to school. Then I was in Fat Club, remember that? Because I was fat.
Holy crap, yeah.
They'd like come get you at assembly and make you run around the field. They'd be like, you're in Fat Club. And then,
God, that sounds like it's from The Simpsons, but it's real life. I don't remember anything from Singapore. I hardly remember anything about any friends. I don't think I had any friends. I had probably one person.
You were nine.
I remember hardly anything apart from the apartment we were in, because that was quite different.
Yeah.
And then I remember distinctly losing my soft toy off the aircon unit. My soft toy fell out the window. And then so there are these like random memories, but a lot of it is just a blur to me. I do remember the trains.
Yeah, the trains were cool. I remember being in the supermarket and seeing Sri Lankan king crabs in the supermarket. I remember Ma cooking white rice with chicken feet. I was like, what the hell? Because I'd never seen that before. It was delicious, but I remember seeing the feet and I'd always get freaked out.
We didn't eat the feet.
No, we didn't. But it was delicious still. Chicken rice at the mall, at the food court. Oh, my God. And the sugarcane juice in the bags.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like 50 cents for sugarcane juice. Man, that was good. And then there's Hello Pandas. That's when we discovered Hello Panda. Gosh. Yeah, that's what I remember.
That's the other thing you've mentioned about like coming to New Zealand, is that being a single mom, having the divorce and everything, would have been taken quite differently over in Sri Lanka. It would have been harder. You wouldn't have been a social pariah as such, but it would have been difficult for you in social situations where there are lots of couples, aunties and uncles, gatherings, and that cultural difference.
People tend to talk a lot. During my time, things may have changed now, but during my time, you know, couples splitting up was taken like a bit of a stigma, like, and the whole, there is always
blame.
What
do you mean during your time, like 16 years ago?
At the time we split up, there was stigma in my time when I grew up. There was sort of, the blame is always on the woman. Why couldn't she keep a marriage, and nothing to do with the man? So it's always that. And also at the time we split up, I had the chance of going back again, but I didn't, because I wanted to stay here so that both of you will be educated. If both of you and all three of us went back home, and that stigma, I didn't want that blame to come on both of you. There would have been people looking down on us because you didn't have a father or something like that. So I didn't want that to come on you. So those are things that kept me here without going back. On the long run, I think it was a good decision. But then again, you lost things like family, your cousins. You don't have cousins. You don't have your uncles and aunties and grandfathers, grandparents. And those are huge. I think that's bigger than the little things that we would have had to undergo. But then we would have not been had money to live, because the income that I could have earned here, I can carry that lifestyle.
The quality of life.
Quality of life, whereas if I earned there, I couldn't have given you even just to feed you. It would have been difficult.
Yeah.
So that's the difference, because that's a poor country.
So, but I mean, it's not like you were rolling in it over here. You were just working.
But the thing is, the money I earned was more than enough to have food on the table without anybody suffering. So it's not the same there.
Of course,
I would have had everybody around me to help me in other ways.
More support.
I guess the interesting thing, like going back to like family and how close you were when you were growing up with family, it was just part of life. People were coming in and out of the house. You'd constantly have parties, constantly entertaining. Archie was this amazing host who would cook so much food. And Daddy was this charismatic person, and like, so you were surrounded by family your whole life. Like, that's, I think, obviously what you're missing. But Navin and I, like, we've talked about how, like, we didn't have that. What I'm trying to say is that maybe we don't know exactly what we're missing out on.
Whereas you don't realize
you feel it so much.
We don't miss it, because we know. I mean, I miss
I miss Sri Lanka. I miss family. I miss the potential loss.
You don't feel it as much.
Because you know what it was like. It's like, better to have loved and lost, but you haven't lost anything. But that
It's good in a way if you think like that, because I was sad for you, because you should have been brought up with your cousins and aunties and uncles, and that type of thing, that is a huge loss for me from what I've had.
But you've provided so much for Navin and I. Like, I mean, you can't provide the whole village to raise us. What you could provide, you did that and more. So, like, I don't think you should feel sad. Or, like, not that you shouldn't feel sad, but I don't...
It's what it is.
We don't feel the
loss. You can't do anything about it. It's what it is.
There's something I love about all of them rushing to, like, defend or reassure the other person that they're not sad, they're doing okay. Like, everyone just wants everyone else to feel okay. And I think sometimes between generations, like, we project our own... Like, we think the other generation is sadder than they might actually feel.
Yeah, I feel you. That's a really nice exchange.
Mm.
I hope that was nice for Sushani to hear. It is true, eh, that often people from really large families think that that is the kind of best kind of family.
Yeah, that's the measure of happiness in a way.
Yeah, sometimes. I think a lot of people I know who have lots of brothers and sisters want to also have lots of kids and stuff like that.
Because I think lots of people just have huge extended families, and then if someone finds out that, like, it's just always been me and then my brother with no cousins around, how is that possible?
That's also such a common immigrant experience, eh? Like, when you move, you don't have your cousins here, you don't have that extended family around. I didn't really realise that commonality until these guys started talking, until we were recording with
Did
them.
Did you not grow up with cousins? You had cousins.
Yeah, I have cousins, but, like, in Sri Lanka, I have cousins. In this next part of the episode, the Jayasingha family discuss Sushani's separation.
In terms of the separation with my Pathi, it was, as any teenager would be, like, not spiteful, but just, like, a little bit bitter. You know, everyone goes through that emo stage and then there's a separation and then it's, like, justified. And for, like, I don't know, a while during my teenage years, I was, like... You know, all men are kind of very self-centered, or, like, you can't really trust them. And I also went to a girls' high school and I found really good friends there. And I know it's much easier for me to click with women. And, like, over time I've been working on that and just, like, recognizing my bias with, like, friendships, right? But I think it's also the fact that the separation happened and I, for a long time, I didn't trust any dudes. And I was like, what's their agenda? Like, what do they want? Mm-hmm. I think especially during the times that we had here, I realized, and through when we were living on Rockfield Road, when Ma was looking for a house, because up until that point we'd been renting and Ma had been, like, saving up for ages to get a house so that we weren't giving our money to someone else to live in a house. Ma had this dream of having a house and you really supported that throughout. And I wasn't really there as much for the family, but I didn't really realize.
Because you were younger.
Yeah, I was younger. Yeah. And Navin,
and we didn't tell you because I didn't want to put all these problems on you.
Yeah, Navin was, like, the person who always took the brunt of the responsibility since Tathi left. I really always admired that. It showed me the type of person I want to be. Yeah, it just showed me a different side of there can be men and families who take care of families as well.
Mm.
We got that a little bit with Daddy, our grandfather.
Oh,
but
yeah, a lot.
Yeah. But it's a whole different level because you had to sacrifice, like, a few things.
It just was what it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I couldn't have done it without you.
We couldn't have done it without you either, so it's the same thing. You know, same, you know?
Yeah.
We were all in it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time I actually heard about it was when Sarait said it to me on the phone, and I was actually quite surprised.
Really?
Because, yeah, I don't know, you lost your faith in men. I was how rude.
It's just, like, there are so many reasons not to trust guys, you know? Like,
still, don't forget that.
But I just saw Ma be completely devastated.
Mm.
We both saw Ma, like, go through that. And it's like, why would I put myself through that?
Mm.
But again, like, not... Like, yeah, again, even though I'm not Ma in that situation.
Mm. Are you still bitter about it?
I don't think I'm bitter. It's just I realized that there was some scar tissue there, and part of that scar tissue was just being like, oh, yeah, like, I really didn't, like, trust dudes for a long time. And that's because of that. I didn't realize it at the time. I was just involved in my own, like, life and, like, what I was thinking about. But you really stepped up during those years, like, at Rockfield and even here.
Totally.
And, like, continue to do so. Like, and, like, I think sometimes when I'm in Whanganui and I, like, think of you guys, there's a sense of, like, I'm not really here as much, you know, for the family.
Yeah, you don't need to be here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
Do what you got to do. Yeah. Just do what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, this is the thing. Like, you've never been mad about it.
Why would I be mad
about exactly. it? Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. There'd be people who would be, you know? Like, I'm the eldest. I have to do everything. But you are like, it's not a thing for you. You're just like, I'm there. I got
to I'm not going to lie. It's a thing. But, I mean, that's just how things felt. It doesn't mean it'll be a thing always or whatever. Do you know? Yeah. It's just, it's a thing, sure.
Yeah.
But it's not a big deal. If everything was fine and you and Tati never split up or whatever, I would have just been a comfortable fat kid that went to uni and did some some job, just went to uni because I was meant to go to uni and just tick the boxes and did all that stuff, you know? But I just went complete 180. I wouldn't trade that, like, for anything.
Everything happened.
I'd go through that pain and everything for that. Because definitely it would have been a completely different life.
Yeah. You know? That wouldn't have been life, actually.
Nah, it would have been different, you know? Yeah.
I've always thought about you as that stability. Like, you've always been the constant in Navin and I's life.
I wanted to be because I knew my life and how much stability I had in my life. And I didn't have to worry about a thing. It was totally good. I couldn't give it to you. And I knew the main thing was to hold it together, the stability. Because if I was wayward and I was doing this and that and left you two to fend for yourselves, then what kind of a life would you have? That's something I had to maintain. That is something I knew right from the start. I had to be there for you.
I really related to Anique saying that the way the painful separation her parents had destroyed her trust in men, and that she had to, like, work really actively to rebuild that, but the way that Navin helped and the way that he came through for them was what changed things for her.
I feel like I really relate to this idea of guilt and burden and family responsibility, because it's just me and my grandparents. Like, I'm the only family member living with them. And I see them getting older and I don't know how to take care of them. I don't think I see it as a burden as much, but I see my inability to cope with it, where I feel guilt about that.
Do you relate to Anique?
Yeah, I relate to Anique even though I'm there with them.
Yeah, I can see how that would be hard. You know, I don't know who is going to be able to teach you those things, and I don't really think anything prepares us for that. For having to step into the role of caretaker when we've always been the one who was cared for, or when those people were the ones who cared for us.
I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, when does that relationship change? Or it's probably constantly changing and shifting between the two.
We just don't notice it at first. Until we really do, or until something drastic happens, like your parents have a painful separation, and it is kind of like one person needs to, and Navin was the oldest, and that's just what he did. This next bit explores how Sushani recovered following her separation. Sushani refers to her mother as Archa. Archie is grandmother in Sinhalese, and she refers to her dad as Daddy.
That was a different kind of freedom, actually. Because I didn't realise...
As in you could hit on other men.
Huh?
As in you could hit on other men.
No.
What do you mean?
I didn't have the inclination after what happened. No. I felt free because I didn't realise how... I had to rely on everything, on Tati, or... Maybe he didn't make it the situation, but it was our culture.
Yeah.
Like, Daddy went to work. Yeah. He brought in the money. Yeah. Archer did everything at home. Automatically, my life also would be like that.
Mm.
So it wasn't the same like what Daddy and Archer had. It was totally different. So I also should have been at work, but I didn't. I wasn't at work. So maybe that's the lack of not going to work also didn't open up my mind.
Did you want to go to work or were you encouraged?
No, I was bringing you up. Yeah. So my whole thing was both of you.
Didn't you start work at 17?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ma started work at 17.
Yeah, but after I got married and I had you, I stopped working. And I stopped working because I just wanted to spend my time with the two of you to give that time to you. Because if you go to work, you won't have that time. Though the thing is, when I split up, I found that there was so much freedom because I started to drive. Which gave me a lot of freedom. Before I waited for Tati to take me or take me there. I learned a lot of stuff like how to pay your bills, your taxes, your banking, your all kinds of stuff that I never even thought of before, which were all handled by Tati. I didn't have to bother. So
did you like learning it or was it like
a it was a lot of freedom and opening up my mind, which was very good for me. Earlier, I was in this sort of cocoon, like, it was not real life. But I can tell you, this after I split up on me, I knew real life. Till then, life was just constantly relying on other people to do stuff for me. Yeah, it was a totally different life, my gosh.
It's the first time living alone. It's the first time moving out at the age of, like, 28, which I think for a lot of Kiwis might be late, but in our culture, it's not a thing. Like, there are intergenerational families living in one household, and that's not a stigma. It's not a thing. And I guess I've been thinking about, I don't know, I guess I sometimes feel guilt that I can't be here for
That's good guilt. Come back.
She likes
home
it. Yeah, it fuels you. You live off this. It kind of made me think about, like, independence, because I've been really, like, I've been loving just being able to do things myself and being only to rely on myself in certain ways.
Yeah.
And even going on a road trip by myself felt so liberating. And I know that Ma was a lot of times like, do you have any friends there? Like you can't spend your birthday alone, like...
No, that's the way that I was brought up. It was always with family around.
But this
you.
Is...
We never went anywhere on our own.
I want to feel okay being able to be by myself. And I am in a lot of ways. But I guess I've just been like thinking a lot about independence and then what it means for different cultures. Like, I think in Western culture, it's like almost like a coming of age. In our culture, it's like you get a job, then you're like kind of like an adult.
Yeah.
But then.
But you still live at home.
Exactly.
Yeah, so nothing changes.
Yeah, you get a job, but you're providing for your family. You know, you're not getting a job for yourself and like moving out and like doing your own thing.
You bring home more money so that the whole family can live a better life. So it's good and bad also. I don't know, because I haven't lived that kind of life.
This is the thing. This is why I want to, because I feel like it's so easy to fall into that thing of giving, because I think all three of us are like people who are listeners and people who give a lot. And it's just nice to have something for myself and have stories for myself and things that I'm working on that are separate. Community is like important though. And that's, I think that's what I realized while I was living alone. Like, it's only been a short time, but I was thinking, you know, independence is great, but it's not all it's cracked up to be. It's not the be-all and end-all. Like, community is what's important.
It's a great point by Anik that our judgments, how we value independence versus community, like, it's so shaped by how we're raised, what we're surrounded by when we're younger and when we're older. I really think this point about moving out or living with family has a different meaning for immigrant families.
Mm-hmm.
Like the values that we place on what is the mature thing to do. Like the mature thing to do from a Pākehā perspective is to move out maybe for independence.
Yeah.
so you're not relying on your family, whereas maybe there's this alternate worldview that actually the mature thing is to be there for your family, for your parents, for your grandparents, to take care of them.
It can be really hard for kids of immigrants to explain that to their friends who might come from a different perspective, you know, because I think it is seen as a sign of failure to still be living at home in your late 20s. And yeah, we should probably reassess that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I always get like a weird sense of, I don't know if it's shame, but there's like a stigma when I say that I'm living with my grandparents. Like immediately I want to justify and be like, but I'm not living with my mum, but I have to do this for these reasons. Like I want to be on the defence about it. But it should just be a more normalised thing. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with that, I think.
Totally.
Yeah, I just wish that society like had a more holistic view, that intergenerational households were just way more well-received, loved, encouraged.
I also really like how it feels like Anik came full circle a bit with this. You know, she says she moved out, she wanted to, she needed to, and she's learning a lot. But she's realizing also that community is the thing that matters.
Wherever your motherland is,
yeah,
you should never leave it, I think. I think you should never leave it. Okay. Because you'll always be a second-hand citizen in some other country. Your motherland is your own country where you're born and bred. You know everyone. You know the culture. There is nothing strange.
What do you mean by second-hand citizen? Like when you're in a country that isn't your motherland.
If you're white, it's to assimilate, it's quicker.
Yeah.
For us brown people, it takes a bit of time. It takes a long time to get to know people, for them to know us. And they expect things from us, which they don't expect from their own kind. Like, you know, if we drive on the roads and they say, no wonder she's brown or something, they say. That's why she's driving like that. You know, they wouldn't say that to their own kind because they've been driving forever. They live here, and because we come here, we have to get used to the roads. We have to get used to where we are going. So lots of little things like that, which they automatically think, ah, okay, they're migrants. That's why they can't do this or that. Or,
so the reason for everything is drawn down.
Because you're migrants. But then this country is not bad, actually. I have nothing to complain about. Except there's one day there was this bus driver who closed the doors on me. I was so mad with him. He did it to me twice. And then I looked at his radio, and then he knew that I was going to complain. And then he was very scared, I think.
My God.
After that, I didn't get into the same bus. I didn't find the same fellow again. So it happened to me twice, actually. So I was thinking, this fellow did it on purpose, and that's racism. But other than that, nothing to complain about here.
That's the thing, right? Like, it's a good life here, but it doesn't mean things can't change, like, in little ways. You know?
Totally. And, the acceptance of other people, regardless of their color or the way they talk or the way they dress, you know, all those little things.
Like, I guess the word for it is microaggressions, right? People say things that seemingly harmless, but it immediately says that, oh, you're other, you're not from here.
Right.
And it's the thing, like, I guess some people in my generation, maybe we have more of a language at identifying it, like snap and being like, okay, so you just did that. Whereas I guess when you're new to a country, it's like, why do I feel uncomfortable?
Oh, this is my home now. I love it here. If I go to Sri Lanka, it'll be for a holiday. But Sri Lanka is also my home. I can't separate the two like that.
Yeah.
I live here, but Sri Lanka is also my home, so I'm happy.
So you don't feel different in Sri Lanka when you go back?
No, it's home.
Do you feel different in New Zealand?
No. I've lived here long enough, I guess.
That's really good.
I guess you guys must be feeling like home here more than Sri Lanka, no? Because the language does a lot too.
True. It's the language.
That's something else that I missed out on giving you guys, the language.
It's interesting when you say you feel, I mean, of course you feel comfortable in Sri Lanka, actually, because you grew up there.
Yeah, I love talking and my own language. And some jokes you can only tell in Sinhalese. Yes. You can't, in any country, it's the same thing. Yeah. Only they will understand those jokes.
I think
you can't translate those.
I realize that when you can tell a joke in your mother tongue and you can have a conversation with someone, a stranger in Sinhalese. Mm. That would be my dream. If to go back and just be fluent and just
you can only do that if you go back.
I feel different when I go to Sri Lanka. There's no doubt. I guess both places are home for me.
Mm.
In one place, I feel more at ease because I understand the language and I understand Sinhalese. I just can't speak it.
Mm.
But that means that I can listen to a conversation but not really partake in it as much. Yeah. And like I said, I just want to be able to be fluent in it.
Mm.
And that'll help with that sense of being at home, I think, more.
Mm.
Not just for myself, but for other people.
Other people as well.
Because I've had that question of how would you identify? Are you Sri Lankan or are you Kiwi? Mm. And I was like, well, I'm both. I would consider I'm Sri Lankan Kiwi. And then he was like, no, you have to pick. You can't be both kind of thing. It's you're either Sri Lankan or you're Kiwi. And it was kind of confronting. I wasn't expecting that, someone from my family as well. And it's like, well, you might think that I have to pick, but I don't, that's not.
Yeah. I can easily say, if somebody asks me, I can, straight off, I can tell them I'm a Sri Lankan. But you will have a struggle with that question.
I don't have a struggle. I say I'm Sri Lankan New Zealander. There's no struggle there.
I don't know. I say I'm Sri Lankan because I was born there. But, it doesn't... can't say it means much, if I'm being honest. I say that because I'm born there. But you know, last time I went there was 7 years ago. And I went there thinking, when I get there, it'll feel like home.
Yeah.
And then I got there and I was like, this is not what I was expecting.
Mm.
And it didn't feel like home. I just felt like a complete outsider.
Mm.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. One, I was younger. I was a different person. If I went back today, it'll be very different. So that's why I really wanted to go back this time. Yeah, last time I went back there, I had the same things. What are you? Are you Sri Lankan or are you Kiwi? I had the same thing too. It's do you support Sri Lanka in the cricket or New Zealand? it's who cares? Yeah. You'd feel that was confronting for sure. You know, especially when it's your own family. It's not random. Yeah, I just felt very disconnected when I went back last time. And I felt very lonely when I went back last time. I was just by myself and no one understood
me. If you went with me, you wouldn't...
Yeah, it would have been different. I just felt no one understood me there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, were you staying with Acha?
Yeah, I was staying with the family.
You could have spoken to them.
Nah, it's different, you know?
But
anyway, they were great. When I was at home, it was fine with them. It was just, it was home. When there are other people in the mix and it just felt different. Then when I go out to the shops, it's people would know I was not from there instantly.
They know it. I don't know how they know it.
Yeah, it just felt off.
The thing is, I speak Sinhalese. When I go home, they still know that I'm from the outside. I don't know how they know it. I just don't know. I'm talking to them in Sinhalese. Yeah.
So it's very hard for me to actually tell you that, give you an answer to that question. To say what is home. Okay. I've been to Sri Lanka for 2 weeks, one time since we got here. Yeah, so that's... I can't really say, you know.
The interesting thing is, though, that for the longest time you, were so anti going back. Yeah. It felt like.
Yeah, it was.
I'd been back 3 times.
Yeah.
For a while, I was just kind of confused about, how you felt about it and why you didn't want to go back.
I told you, though. I didn't go back for the longest time because I felt guilty. I couldn't give them anything of the life I was living.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't want to go back there and just have a holiday there. Be like, woohoo, I'm here on the dollar, party, and then bounce out.
Give them some Whitakers and then just leave.
Exactly, that's bullshit. So that's why I don't like going back, because for me, I know now it's different. I was younger then, that's just how I thought. Now it's, they just want to spend time with me and that kind of stuff. Mm. But back then, I didn't want to because I felt so guilty that I couldn't give them any of the awesome life I had.
You can't. It's a totally different life.
No, but that's the thing. I disagree with that.
That life can be awesome as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you ask anybody they don't think their life is bad.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not saying that. But that, like I said, that was back then.
Yeah.
It's different now.
I think this exchange at the end is revealing of even how much you and I have grown through doing this process. Like the way that Narvin says something, and when he said it, I'm like, damn, that's a good point. And then Sushani counters it, and I'm like, oh, that's a good point too. And I think my perspective on a lot of these conversations used to be way more one-sided, and I used to like kind of empathize with one person or the other, and now I'm just seeing that there's so many different ways to look at something. Like, I really relate to what Narvin's saying about not wanting to flaunt a lifestyle, but I also love this perspective that the Western way of living is not necessarily better, and what we perceive as a developed world is something we need to reassess. Thank you so much to the Jayasingha family. Thank you so much for being our first Sri Lankan family.
Outside that wasn't of mine.
And it was so lovely to get to know you guys and hear your stories. You can check out photos and videos of all our families on Facebook at Where Are You From Really, Instagram at Combos With My, and on RNZ's website. Conversations with My Immigrant Parents was created, produced, and directed by Julie Zhu and Saray De Silva. Location recording by Joey Siasoko. Studio recording by Jill Eva Craig at The Secret Beehive. And sound edited and mixed by Emmy Pagoni.
Our cover image is illustrated by Ngā Mutane Jones at Miss Memo and designed by Sonia Milford. A huge thanks also to Kay Elmers and Tim Burnell from RNZ Commissioning. Conversations with My Immigrant Parents was made possible by the RNZ NZ On Air Innovation Fund. He ko nei ipirangi tēnei ma te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.